I love you, Pete.
Oh, what a play by Michigan!
And my heart is here.
Save it for Misiak. Misiak, wraparound attempt, break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Score! Into the net!
Go, Huskies.
This is the Joe Schaan Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schaan, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Michigan Tech Hockey with a split over the weekend. Head coach Joe Schaan is in our studio for the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Good morning, coach.
Morning, Dirk.
Nice to see you, and I know it's been a long weekend for you. You just got back a little while ago, but I'm glad you're here today, and congratulations on a big win Saturday night. Would have been nice to get two on the weekend, of course, at a very difficult place to play in Bowling Green, but I thought a nice bounce back on Saturday night.
Yeah, the boys played well. We had good balance. Contributions from a lot of guys, and it was much needed to play that way. One of our goals going into this year was to do better against top four teams, and to come out with a win on the road against Bowling Green was good. They're a good hockey team with a lot of balance, a lot of depth.
If you're just simply going to put what were the differences between Friday night and Saturday night's performance, what would it be?
I don't know. I didn't think we played poorly Friday night. We generated more offense, got to the net better on Saturday night in a lot of ways. Certainly our special teams were the difference, and I guess that'd be the answer was the special teams. We weren't able to create any, actually probably lost momentum on the power play on Friday night. Our Saturday night power play was good and scored a goal for us, and then our penalty kill, obviously we gave up three shots on the kill on Friday night, and all three went in the net. And on Saturday, we did a great job and didn't give up any goals against. So I'd say special teams were the difference.
And just not giving up much through much of the game. It seemed like the whole weekend. There were some flurries from both teams where there was a lot of action going on, but it seemed like the chances that both teams were getting throughout the weekend were big chances, but it wasn't a ton of shots on goal. I mean, nobody got over 30 shots on goal on either night.
Yeah, I would have liked to have played a little bit better as a team in the third period on once we got the lead. Mm-hmm. I thought we sat back a bit. They put together a couple of back-to-back shifts. We shortened the bench, and then we had to shorten the bench a little bit more. And I think that with a little more depth within our lineup, a little bit more development by some guys that we're going to need so that we can keep our rotations going and at least a stronger rotation going so that we can do a better job, I think, of shutting things down. They gained some momentum there, and I think they got four or five shots right at the very end of the period.
They did, yeah.
On the power play there in the very end, last couple minutes, they got a power play and 6-on-4, and of their 12, they probably got four or five at that time. But I think we could have done a little bit better job of pressuring more, transitioning better, playing a little bit more in their end in the third period. But other than that, I thought it was a good hockey game.
Goaltending, especially on Saturday night, by Robbie Badun, his first start on the season, he looked really solid and locked in.
Yeah, same thing. 3 years in a row now, he doesn't get in there at the very beginning. Comes in, gives us great games. Now the biggest thing for Robbie is going to be to keep it going and have consistent games and keep the soft ones from going in. That's kind of a little bit what's happened in the past. He has the ability, as we know, to be spectacular. I've talked about it several times. The first time I ever saw him, there was no way he was getting scored on. He won a shootout. It was in Waterloo. They were playing Youngstown, a goaltending duel, 1-0. Went down 9, 10, 11 shooters in the shootout. There was no way they were scoring on him. He has the ability to steal games. We've seen him do it for us. That consistency every night will make him an elite goaltender in our league.
Brendan Dedema got in on Saturday night as well. We've seen him a couple of times now, Coach. Do you feel him getting more comfortable and providing structure into the structure of the system a little bit better?
I do. I thought he played well. His defensive game has come a long way. His foot speed has improved tremendously in practice. His ability to close defensively. He has a real awareness with the puck. He has poise, maybe sometimes a little bit too much. He needs a little bit more urgency at times, but he didn't show that on Saturday. On Saturday, I thought his puck movement was very good when he played. He certainly helps our power play. He's got great charisma on the power play. We saw his shot again. He got his shot off, and he does a good job for us. So I think he's right now that seventh defenseman is a real friend to him. Our ability to dress an extra player, that rule change from a couple years ago, because that's going to allow us probably to take more looks at him as long as he continues to grow, and we can spot him in where we know he's going to have some success, or at least where we feel he's going to have success, and where he can grow confidence and develop into the player we feel he's going to be.
You talk about one of the shots he got off. Rose, if I remember, made just an unbelievable save on his one-timer on the power play, right?
Yeah, and they didn't give him a shot on goal for it. On the night, they gave him no shots on goal.
Oh, wow.
Going back, but it was. Rose got over there on the one-timer, and that's something in a goaltender's mind that you have to think about. When there's a guy out there that has a heavy shot and a quick release like that, you have to be aware of him, so it keeps you back in the net a little more. It cheats, and if not, the shooter's going to find the net. So I thought he did well. I thought our defense as a whole did extremely well. On the weekend, there was some major growth by a lot of guys that played very well. And again, I think there were some forwards up front that played extremely well that we need to play well. So some of our best players that need to perform performed well. And obviously, we got a very good effort out of Tommy Parentino.
Yeah, we'll get to the hat trick in just a little bit and to the highlights from both games. But one player I wanted to bring up with you, Coach, because I like asking you if you think he played well.
And I like your reaction when you do it. I like to see, oh, okay, well, that wasn't
I
it.
Sometimes see things that aren't really there, I guess. But I all weekend long, I thought Misiak, who had been kind of quiet in the first few games, seemed to be around the puck a lot more and making plays along the wall.
Yeah, we need that. We need his grit, his grind, his speed on the puck. I rewarded him with power play time on Saturday, and that meant a lot to us. We changed things up a little bit on the power play, so we had better retrievals and more speed on puck entry, which I thought that was a big setback for us on Friday night. I just thought we were in a stealth mode on the power play breakout. Without running a stealth power play breakout, and you know that's a slower type breakout, and we were in that slow mode and allowed a team that stands the blue line and holds the line to not have to face speed in doing that. And sometimes you try to make adjustments, you try to make changes in the game, and it just doesn't register. And then when we're able to get some video at the guys and get them to see it a little bit better, and their minds are a little clearer, we were able to make those adjustments on Saturday, and one of those was Justin Misiak on the power play. And you know, I told him before the game, you're going to score. You know, you're going to score on the power play, and he had a great scoring chance. He walked in, he had a great scoring chance on it, and the goaltender made a really good save.
Well, let's take a look at Friday's game. A 3-1 loss to 17th-ranked Bowling Green. We got the first goal of the game. It was a bit of a fluke one, as the Huskies had a power play, and we'll talk about this more, but there's a very strange part of the kick plate behind the goal, and it turned into a helper for the Huskies.
Now coming across now, Reitmeier, his pass tipped away, but the Huskies able to hold it in. Reitmeier will get it on the half wall, and the Huskies just don't seem to be in the right position. Scores! Oh, a bad hop off of the boards, and it was Bliss who was able to tap it home. A break for the Huskies turns into a power play goal and a 1-0 lead.
Well, just a weird thing down there behind the net where that it affected the games both nights, I thought.
It did affect the games, and Bowling Green, I think it helps their development of their team, in my opinion, the way that rink bounces. The stanchions stick out a long way, and a lot of pucks bounce into the middle instead of, staying in non-critical ice, outside the dots ice. They'll hit and they'll bounce into the middle of the rink, and I think that helps in Bowling Green's development in this sense that it rewards their players for staying around the puck, for not circling away from the puck and, circling to the outside, taking themselves away from the puck when they're not involved in the play. It keeps them encouraged to go towards the puck all the time because pucks will bounce to them. And on Friday night, they had two scoring chances in the first period. The one was the goal on the power play, a quick release in front on the 4-on-3. And the other one, we were on the power play, and they hit a stanchion and bounced again right to the middle of the, middle of the rink. And they went in on a breakaway. Colin Sawyer got caught a little bit to the outside to try to hold the puck in, and the puck bounced into the middle of the rink, and they were gone. So that happened, as you mentioned, several times on the weekend. And again, I think that helps their development to some degree, and it certainly has the ability to impact games.
Well, it does, but I wanted to ask you, Coach, we played a lot of games in this building. I don't ever remember the situation where this is happening several times a game and affecting plays as it did right there. Does that...
And high and low. Yeah, glass and boards.
Yes, I mean, the statues were kicking it out like crazy.
Yeah, the glass was doing it, and as you mentioned, the one that came out to the front of the net on our first goal on Friday, our only goal on Friday, was it was a low play. It was on the boards, not on the glass. So, you're right. There's some crazy bounces in that rink. And again, I think that helps awareness for development. I didn't mind. It didn't affect the game. Probably a best example of that. It didn't affect the game negatively against us as much on Saturday as it did on Friday. On Friday, it was catching us at times. Right. And on Saturday, it didn't. So it rewarded our guys and got our guys a little bit more around the puck as well.
Let me ask you that, though. And when you see something like that, does that lend your, does that kind of make you want to during pregame skates or during practices before that to rim the puck around a couple of times to kind of see if there's any kind of those odd,
yeah, we do.
Bounces.
We
do.
That's part of our Thursday routine to do some drills that have that in it, so the guys can see what's going on with that. So,
did you know that going in? I mean, at all?
Not to that degree. No. We didn't address it at all. And then, something looked different in the glass. So I don't know if they got new glass
they did.
Or whatever.
I believe they got new glass.
Or if they put bumpers or redid the joints, because that's where it happened. It happened on the stanchions that hold the glass together, and they just seemed to be much more prominent. Mm-hmm. You even noticed them more, and maybe that was because of it. But it just seemed like it stood out a little bit more. It's certainly not seamless glass where the glass panels just fit together tight.
Well, we noticed, too, that Matt, later on in that game, and then Robbie, of course, in game two, had more of a tendency to maybe stay in the net as the puck was coming in, just in case something happened.
Yeah, in the third period, that one they were dumping in went right on net.
And he was there, thank goodness.
Yeah, and me, back in the day, I'd have been heading behind the net to stop that, and I would have gone right in the middle of the net.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But he stayed right there and stayed tight to the net and was able to stop it. So we got through it, and that's the important thing.
Three power play goals by the Bowling Green State Falcons. So Ford scored one at the 9:20 mark, and Cullen of the first period at the 15:17 mark of the second. Cullen made it a 2-1 game, and then Ford got his second of the game. This one gave them a two-goal lead in the third.
Control going down on the play. Zaretsky, here's Johnson with a pass to the front door. Right there, a shot blocked there. Save score. Now getting the goal is Ford, his second of the game. He's so good around that front of the net.
Well, they did get that one in the front of the net. There was a bit of scramble in that last goal for them, Coach.
Yeah, there was. We actually, that was a bit of a letdown for us. We had, they had two men in front, Ford kind of in the stack position on the higher slot, and then a player in front of the net. And we had four players there, four defenders. We blocked the shot, the original shot, and it went back on Ford's stick. And we didn't do a very good job actually of tying him up. And then it was kind of just trickled in between Maddie's legs. But it all happened very quick. But we didn't do a very good job. We weren't as aggressive on the penalty kill on Friday night, and they found some seams and they opened up some pockets, and the second goal was just it was a quick seam pass through our coverage and a quick release as they changed our goaltender's position. So they made the most of their opportunities. They're a very good team. They're good at, again, they're a good power play team. They force aggressively on the penalty kill. They make you a better team, and they made us a better team this weekend.
Final shots in that Friday night game, 26 for Bowling Green, 21 for Michigan Tech. Huskies were 1-for-5 on the man advantage with 5 power play shots on goal. And as we mentioned, Bowling Green 3-for-3. They only had 3 shots on goal during the man advantages, and they scored on all 3. Matt Jerusik with 23 saves. Eric Dopp, solid in net for Bowling Green. He had 20 saves. Huskies did win the faceoff battle, Coach, in that Friday night game. And, Trenton Bliss, if I remember, was 6-0 on his draws.
Yeah, that's a big deal. A lot of those were on the penalty. Well, I guess they were Friday, Saturday, they were on the penalty kill. But that was a big deal. Our guys are doing a good job, a better job. Bowling Green had the edge on Saturday on us, but a much better job over our first 3 weekends of action, then, you know, it's grown. It wasn't good the first, you know, our first weekend. And then, against Alaska, it wasn't great. A little bit better, but still we got dominated in that area, and we did a much better job this weekend.
Well, take a look at Saturday night's win for the Huskies at Bowling Green State University as we continue on with the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. If you have a question for Coach Schott, you can email it in, dj@themix93.com. Do that as soon as you can, though, as we'll be asking those questions coming up in just a little bit here on Mix 93.
It takes hard work to reach goals. It's a truth that applies to more than sports. It goes for your financial goals as well. You work hard for your money. You deserve an investment strategy that lines up with your game plan. And your local Edward Jones Financial Advisor can help. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort, call me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 482-8680 or stop by for a financial review. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Hello, would you like me to find workout classes near you?
There are no stores that sell glasses within 10 miles of your location.
There's enough artificial in the world. That's why Michelob Ultra is brewed with no artificial colors or flavors. With just 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. Superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. 2019 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 grams carbs, 0.6 grams protein, and 0.0 grams fat for 12 ounces.
It's Oktoberfest celebration time at Bucco's in Calumet. All six packs of bottled beer is on sale. All Coke and 7-Up 2 liters are 2 for $3. Pepsi 1 and a quarter liters, 4 for $5. And Pepsi 12 packs only 2 for $10. Canada Dry flavored seltzer, 8 packs are only 2 for $5. Bucco's has all your deer feed, and they're totally stocked up with alpaca gear in the clothing aisle. All sales do not include tax and deposit at Bucco's in Calumet. Open 7 days a week.
Mix 93 WKMJ, we're continuing on with the Joe Schott Hour here on the Monday morning. And the Huskies on Saturday night, after a 3-1 loss on Friday night, needed to get a win. And boy, did they ever. A great performance, top to bottom, for Michigan Tech as they come away with a 4-2 victory, including the first goal of the game for the second night in a row.
Zaretsky making a move out for the boards down to the corner in the right wing corner. And the Huskies will hold it in. Zaretsky able to hold on to it. A shot. Rose to save it. He doesn't know where it is. And finally he gets the whistle. And he scored! They say it's a goal. They say Rose never had it underneath him. And the Huskies have taken a 1-0 lead with 14-14 left in the second period.
Well, Coach, maybe you, I'm sure you had a better look at it than we did. You're much closer to the action. What did you see in that, what appeared to be a play that was dead, and then all of a sudden it was a goal?
Well, I think what was obvious, and I haven't talked to players. I didn't come back on the bus. We went out recruiting after. But I think it was pretty obvious the puck was still visible behind the goaltender. Mm-hmm. The referee was standing on the back of the net. He was, you know, he had the eyes of what was going on, and, you know, it looked like Parker went in and kind of just shoveled behind him and put it in. So I think the puck laid in clear visible view behind the goaltender. They, you know, we couldn't see it. It looked like it was covered, but it was obviously open. And it's a good hard ice area goal. We had bodies there, and we were digging at it, and it's a big goal, so it was good to get.
Zaretsky gets his second of his young career. Alec Bretzman gets the assist, his third of the season, at the 5:46 mark. Exactly 1 minute later, though, Max Johnson ties it up for Bowling Green.
Kicker played again, almost popped out to the front of the goal. Ra Hauser will hold it in. Johnson with it now, down to the left wing corner for Barber. Barber really took a two-hander to the top, scores! Right to the front of the net. The Huskies were in trouble for a long time there, and they paid for it.
Well, the goal by Max Johnson and getting the assist was Barber and Cruz on that play. And do you remember that one, Coach, and what happened?
Yeah, it was just they kept pressure on us in our zone, sustained pressure. And in the second period, it's harder to get line changes. We had a couple opportunities to clear, and we didn't. We tried to make plays, and that's part of, you know, the evolution, the development of a hockey player is, you know, when to hold them and when to fold them, when to cut bait and say, okay, now it's time. We just need to back pressure off and get a change here. And we weren't able to do that. They did ice the puck, considered a timeout, didn't take it, and it kind of bit me a little bit. You know, we'd been playing pretty decent up until that shift in the game as a whole. And then the same thing happened, on, that we had a couple chances to clear it after the faceoff, and then we didn't get it out, and they were able to. It was a nice play going behind the net, bringing it back same side, and Robbie was looking the other way, and it didn't really see the release of the puck, and it was quick play, bang bang, and 1-1.
What I thought was impressive on that, coach, is that okay, we scored the first goal, not till the second period. They come right back up 60 seconds later and tie it up, and usually in that building with that team, they have at least some big momentum for a while there. It seemed like we took it right back, and of course, Tommy then went on kind of a hot streak.
Yeah, and that's what's encouraging about the group is that, you know, it's still, we're still going to move ahead, and you know, some guys are going to show growth. We're going to go back a little bit, but a year ago, I even said Friday night I think we were talking, maybe we were talking about it at lunch. You and I are at some time because I was at the an alumni gathering for the pregame, but they outchanced us in like the 25 plus in the playoff games last year. Now we had in one of those games we had a lead in the third. The other game it was a tight game, relatively close game going in the third. But they were taking it to us pretty good in those games. In this one, they got 12 chances in Friday night's game is what we had them down for. Now, they outchanced us. We didn't generate a lot. But we cut really the chances against in half in a tough building, in a tough environment, you know, with a veteran team. And we're out there with still a very freshman, sophomore, oriented team in a lot of ways. That was encouraging Friday after the game. That okay, let's see how we react. Let's see how we continue to grow. This is all part of our learning process. And we came out and a lot of young guys played very well. You know, we have how many goals in the year? 17 maybe? 16 of them are by freshman and sophomore. Our first goal of the year was by Smith. Alex Smith. And then from that point on, freshman and sophomore have done all of our scoring as far as putting the puck in the net. That's an encouraging thing for us. I feel very good about that. Our upperclassmen are doing a great job. Smitty's doing a great job. I'm in no way saying that they're not performing, because I think they are, and they're leading us great. They're giving us good efforts on the ice. But the production is coming from, again, from that young class, the offensive production, and you know, following that up with a decent freshman class again with Pietl and those guys. So the growth is there, and then you want to see them be rewarded for that in games on the ice. And on Saturday, as you mentioned, they showed pushback. I'll tell you, there were some players that really grew. Logan Pietla really grew in that time. He gave us, we needed him to start playing away from the puck the way that he began to play. So we saw some growth from a lot of guys. I think, you know, Blisser is really turning into a tremendous hockey player for us, Trenton Bliss. Botts is doing an excellent job for us, as a lot of guys are, but we grew. And, you know, a year ago, I don't think we come out with that victory. You know, I think things change a little bit and the momentum changes. And this weekend, we were able to, against a team that's going to finish in the top four, come out with a win in their barn on Saturday night. And that's not easy to do. And I'm proud of our guys.
Tommy Paratino kind of took over the game. A natural hat trick for the Huskies as the Huskies were tied 1-1. He got his first goal of the season and first goal of the game to give the Huskies the lead again.
Swoyer will get it across the line, and now the Huskies got something going here. Paratino to the front! It hit a stick shot! Off the post and in! Paratino off of the right post! Scores the goal as he got it back, and the Huskies take their second lead of the game with 8:15 left in the second. But the puck goes to the right wing corner. We're under two now left to go in the second period. 2-1 Michigan Tech with the lead. Here come the Falcons across the line. Broken up by Michigan Tech. Picked up now by the Huskies back to the way. Paratino's got Logan Pietl with him. Paratino driving to the net! Got a shot! And a score! Oh, what a play by Paratino! He did that all by himself! And he beat Rose and giving the Huskies their biggest lead of the weekend, 3-1. Across the line now, Paratino will chase down the puck in the left wing corner. Bumps it around now for Goats back at the point. There for Donahue. His shot scores! That was Sawyer who took the shot, tipped in front. And did Paratino get it for the hat trick? We'll see who gets credit for it, but it's a power play goal for the Huskies.
Well, they looked at the goal, and it was a good goal, and Paratino did get credit for it. Three in a row by number nine, and gets his first hat trick in a long, long time. He said he doesn't even remember the last time he scored a hat trick. He said probably back in Pee Wee's or Mites or something like that.
Yeah, and actually that those were his second, third, and fourth goals of the year. He got one against Alaska.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
when
right.
we pulled the goaltender, and he got that goal. So,
which also was a redirection, if I remember right.
Which was a redirection yeah. off a faceoff play, yeah. And so he did a good job. But there's a lot of people that are involved in any goal, as you know. There's a lot that goes into transitioning the puck. There's a lot that goes into one-on-one isolation, getting a guy to be able to attack an individual one-on-one. There's a lot of other guys doing a lot of things, and I think he'd be the first guy to say that things went in for him, but a lot of guys did a lot of work to help him do that.
I just wanted to bring up the second goal where he brought it all the way down the right side,
mm-hmm.
his second goal, yep. right side, and made his way to
a good offside attack. He was on his off wing and came in and you know, we were talking about that in the car yesterday driving back from recruiting. You could tell once he got over the blue line, he did a little stagger. And the defenseman kind of slowed down, thinking, is he going to pull up? And then he turned it on. Mm-hmm. And he got body position on the outside and went harder than that. And that's the type of goal that when I recruited him in midgets that I saw, those things with, you know, in where he was able to do something individually and just break a game open a little bit. And he was able to do that. And it was a really good goal. And then he went short side with it when he was cutting across the middle. The goalie, normally it's a race to the far goal post on that play, but the goaltender was trying to beat him to the far goal post and he shoveled it in short side. And it was a beautiful goal to watch. We had a great view.
It was a great goal. But the reason why it was so special in my eyes is that, you know, I don't get to see but maybe one or two practices a week at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw you guys working on that exact play. Maybe you do it every week, but I had not seen it in a while where you have your defensemen at center ice. They go to the faceoff dot in the neutral zone and then mm-hmm. try to ward off the winger,
yeah.
winger
yeah.
come down. Saw him make that play in practice and he made an unbelievable goal. And I even commented to him after. I said, that was a great goal you did in practice. I said, oh, thanks. And then he goes and does the exact same thing in a game.
Well, if you remember, it was, Friday night, the same thing. We did the same thing. I mean, the open ice in the type of forecheck that they do is behind them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so good at not letting you behind them. They're a very talented hockey team. On Friday, he was able to get a scoring chance in the same way where Marcus Russell, indirected and let Tommy go to the outside, and then ended up being a battle in the corner. He walked out with it and got a great scoring chance on Friday night in the third period for us.
Six games in, and you know, I guess this isn't a real big thing, but six games in, we have two guys that have hat tricks already.
Yeah, isn't that great?
You know, Brett's been getting his hat trick in that big game on Saturday night at Robert Morris, and then this one, of course. So we go to the end of the game, Coach. We're down to about 5 minutes or so. And we know that Bowling Green is going to be able to give back a pretty darn good push, and that's exactly what they did.
Just don't feel safe in this building until that final horn sounds. Across the line comes Cruz. Cruz will drop it. Barber with the shot. Saved by Baydoun. Clear to the corner. Wraparound attempt. It goes back to the point. Here's our shot. Scores! Lloyd with the shot through traffic. And the Falcons are back in this game with 5.5 remaining.
But I thought after that, Coach, we really did a good job of keeping them to the outside mm-hmm. and not giving them anything.
Yeah, TJ Lloyd's a fun player to watch, isn't he?
He really is.
Parker Stretzky's cousin.
Yeah.
He was the Canadian Junior Defenseman of the Year last year. We recruited him pretty hard as well. He's a fun player to watch. They have a lot. I thought Cullen was very good. Theo Chiritis was very good
yeah.
for them. Obviously, Rahauser on the blue line. They transition the puck. They jump up. I thought our forwards did a pretty good job of containing that for the most part as well. That you're seeing that, you know, both goals that they got were on extended offensive zone plays where they just are a veteran team that possesses the puck well and is strong on the puck. And that's an area that we need to continue to work on. And that is the exact reason we talked about bringing in Dadamon, bringing in Leip this year to end those cycles, to end those offensive zone plays. And, you know, we can talk about that, but Leip has done a great job
for
us.
He's been phenomenal.
Leip has been just absolutely tremendous. He looks veteran out there. He's big, strong, and he's done a great job. So this type of sustained offensive zone pressure is what we struggled with so badly last year. We've tweaked a little bit of our game to compensate for it. And there's been spurts of it this year. And both of those resulted in goals on Saturday night against us. But we have our spurts in the offensive zone as well. You know, that's just the way the game is going to go. It's when you have chances to clear, which we really didn't have a great chance in that one. It was a Bowling Green just did put on a good push, and Lloyd was able to get his first of the year.
So the final score 4-2 in favor of Michigan Tech. Big win. The Huskies and the Bowling Green in the shots. Very even. Bowling Green, of course, with the power play and the extra attacker, pumped quite a few on towards the end, but 27-25 were the final shots in that Saturday night game. Robbie Badu, an outstanding in goal with 25 saves, and Zach Rose in his first ever collegiate game was solid as well, but he had 21 saves in the loss for Bowling Green. Huskies' record goes to 3-3 overall as we get set for the Hall of Fame game next weekend at North Dakota. And Coach, I know we talk about it every time, but again, Cal had a great photo. I think it was Cal that took the photo. Yeah, it must have been Cal. He took the photo of the just kind of like the headline photo of the game with the score on it. And you can see all the Huskies fans. It must have been right after a Tech goal or right after the game. But all the Huskies fans that were up, hands were in the way, raising their hands because of all the people that were there representing Michigan Tech in that.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple things to that. Number one is whether or not the people that travel with us so well, the alumni, know that we get so many opportunities as a program because of that. This is second in a row playing in the Hall of Fame game, because we travel well, that we're a good draw. We help the environment of where we go. We're invited to the Vegas tournaments again. We're invited to places. Everybody wants us to go to a Christmas time tournament, but we host the GLI and we can't because we travel so well. It helps, these activities, icebreaker a couple years ago in Duluth. It helps these make their bottom line, mm-hmm. because we travel so well. Our people are so good. So the impact that they have, that our supporters have, on our program, let alone how we use that in recruiting, let alone the fact that this year we're in Florida and the College Hockey Inc., which is the big body that promotes college hockey, they have these folders. The cover picture on the folder is our rank, our fans, right. You know, with us playing. That's known throughout, and that's such a huge benefit to us in our recruiting and in everything we do. So, and I saw something neat that Bowling Green did, and I'm gonna talk to Cal about this. They announce during their starting lineup, if you notice that, they call them their bleacher creatures. And we got a group that is so good. Our fans to start with, but the Misfits, mm-hmm. that would be great to introduce them at the start of a game. And because, I mean, not that they need any help getting into a hockey game, but I think that'd be a great to get them on there and put a little tribute to them, as introducing that seventh player, you know, for us, because that's how important our supporter is to us as a team and as a program.
Absolutely. All right. We'll take a quick time out. We'll probably start some of your questions when we come back in the next segment here on the Joe Sean Hour. If you have a question for Coach, you can email it in, dj@themix93.com.
Things that keep you up at night. Let's see. Work stress, crying babies, your laundry list. Oh, yeah. And a horrible cold. Can't help with all of them, but NyQuil Severe can help you with that cold. NyQuil Severe is maximum strength relief for all your cold and flu symptoms. Sneezing, sniffling, stuffiness, soreness. When all you want to do is sleep, NyQuil Severe lets you rest tonight so you can get back to your life tomorrow. NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, achy, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine.
Hi, it's Flo. And you know what word I don't get? Shampoo. The first half of the word is sham, and the second part you definitely don't want to see in the shower. That's why I made up a neat word. Flotection. The feeling of security you get when your new house is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. I mean, seriously, shampoo? What part of that makes you want to rub it all over your hair?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Red 18!
This season, you can share a Coke with your team on it. So I'm going to tell you how with a little help from this quarterback.
Sell it! 44!
You can share a Coke when your team's up.
Red Poncho!
You can share a Coke when your team's down.
Happy Jolly!
You can share a Coke with a coach, a mascot, or an MVP.
Chili, chili, chili!
You can even share a Coke with your rival on game day.
Turbo!
Or you can share a Coke when you're giving out your famous guacamole recipe in a completely packed stadium.
Cilantro, chopped onion, squeeze a lime, Roma tomato, hike!
Share a Coke with a fan this season.
Ice cold, delicious!
Share a Coke is back for the fall football season. We all know what comes with being a fan of the ups, the downs, and everything in between. Whether you've just won a big game and want to celebrate with fellow fans, or want to share a Coke with your best friend whose team just lost against their arch rival, Coca-Cola has something for you. Share a Coke with a teammate, rival, or a friend this season.
Back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We've got a few questions in today, Coach, so let's get right to those. You can still send in your questions to dj@themix93.com. Coach, here is the question for you. This person would like to ask if the game plan for Friday night at Bowling Green was the same as Saturday night, since there were such different results for each night.
No. I mean, there's tweaks that go in all the time. There's adjustments, but... Actually, I thought our plan, I thought we played a decent game Friday. I think right now what it is with us is it's evolution of hockey players. And I really like our group, but you know, this might be an unfair statement to make. And now it's the oh no time, but you know, we didn't get a lot of growth in the second half of last year. We really didn't. There was a lot of stagnant. So we were still a very young team, depending on a lot of freshmen. But I just didn't think that our culture and our chemistry promoted growth like it needed to. And you know, you heard how much I addressed that. So we're still in a lot of ways establishing that, you know, reestablishing that culture that we need to have here to win. And it's been absolutely tremendous this year. And I say that I love this team, but it's an evolutionary growth, where we're going to continue to get better and to grow and grow. And it doesn't happen in one day. You know, you winning streaks, you might, you know, you lose three straight, then all of a sudden you win one, then you might lose another two, and then you might win two, then you lose one, and then you win two more, then you win three or four straight. I mean, it's a growth process. There wasn't anything different. The guys, I think, just, were more attentive. Some pucks went in for us where they didn't on Friday. And we were better on penalty kill, but they didn't. 5-on-5 Friday was a very good hockey game, very even hockey game. And they scored three goals in the power play Saturday, and our power play was, anemic on Friday night. It wasn't very good. And on Saturday it was much better, which led to our confidence and things as well. So no, there's tweaks always, you know, that you pick up, and there's tweaks, but those go on as the game goes. And a lot of times you're experimenting as the game goes on one night, and then you carry that in. Okay, we had success doing this. It worked. Let's build on that.
Next question, Coach. Can you comment on the play of Russell? That's Marcus Russell and Datema. You already talked about Datema. How about Marcus Russell, who got his first roster check or first lineup?
Yeah, I thought Marcus did a good job on Friday night. That line created a few scoring chances for us. I thought he did a good job. He's always he always does everything you ask. He plays hard. He competes well, so I thought he earned himself a chance to play again down the road, to change things up a little bit. The big thing that took, in honesty, that why I made the change with Marcus was that I wanted to, I thought that Paratino, and we talked about this, I didn't want to get into details, but, on after the game, but I thought Paratino showed some really good signs on Friday night that he could do something for us. And we thought that Trenton Bliss is making a lot of things happen. And okay, who can we put with Blisser that maybe can feed off him and get some chemistry and develop something for us? And we thought, and I felt Tommy was that guy. Well, then that now you're sitting on Brian Hallinan, who's been playing on that line, but his production has been, you know, in and out a little bit, and he's still trying to figure things out in a lot of ways, as young players do. But I didn't want to take Brian Hallinan out of the lineup. So we put Brian Hallinan at center on that line so that we could still, if the Paratino experiment didn't work, we could put Hallinan back up on that line. No harm, no foul, and then move on. But the experiment did work, and then that's That's what it was. But I needed Hallinen for the power play and for the different areas that he does different things. And we needed a centerman on that. He's played center in juniors and things, and he was the closest thing we had to give us a centerman on that line with Poglis and with Bryce. And they gave us a good half a game. And then we started popping, changing things around and using Hallinen in different areas.
Next question, Coach. This listener loves the new white jerseys, but is still the creams are their number one jersey. Who decides what jerseys are worn, especially at home? Obviously,
the players decide that with the training staff. They decide which ones they're going to wear, and I could, but it doesn't matter to me. I told you, like, my fashion is zero. So, but I will say this, that the jerseys that were voted the top jersey are our road ones, our road blacks. So that's the ones that were voted the top jerseys. And I think our new whites are a little plain to me, but people seem to love them. So, again, I'm the wrong guy. That's why you have marketing people and all those people that do that stuff, because I can't even dress myself, let alone try to dress a team.
Next question for Coach. This listener is asking about what the expectations are of the defense as far as joining the offensive attack. This listener is thinking that there's not enough defensemen joining the offense yet.
I agree 100%. We talked about that even on Saturday. You know, we didn't have a ton of scoring chances on Friday. Neither did Bowling Green have a ton of them. But two of them that we had, where one of them was Seamus Donahue walking up, and he got right in on goal on a
nice play.
Got behind their defense. And another one was Colin Sawyer, got up, joined a rush, and a rebound came out to him, and they just got a stick on him before he tapped it in open net. So those are the things that we share with our guys. Now, between that and getting them to have the confidence of when to go and not going and getting caught, defense get nervous. Because when they think go often is on a pinch, when they're defending, not on an offensive situation, but when they're defending. And then when they get caught on a pinch, that sets them back a little bit, because if they had a couple of them on Friday night where they got 2-on-1s and 3-on-1s where we shouldn't have pinched. We should have pulled back and again, lived for another day, and we didn't. Players think things differently. To me, anytime you're on the forecheck, you are defending. To them, pinching to try to get the puck is offense. Holding a puck in the zone is offense. So we want our D joining. You know, nowadays, the best chance you have often at an odd man rush is that net front D joining, because when there's a battle in the corner, you know, both teams have a lot of bodies in there. Mm-hmm. The guy that's free that's not in the battle is a net front D. If he stays back, you're losing the guy that potentially could be in the rush, because he's got no coverage on him. So we want him to join. Every team in the country wants him to join. Some guys are more natural at it, but we continue to work at it. And what everybody does, what we do, is bring practice into the game. And like our talk on Saturday was, fellas, this is the 2-on-1 into 4-on-2 drill. D, we need you to get up in the play. And then we talked about those two scoring chances we had with those D. So we're encouraging it, logically encouraging it, and hopefully, and that's part of our growth process.
Joe, with special teams seeming to be our make or break element so far this year, what did you do or tell the team differently before Saturday's game compared to Friday's game?
Well, we needed more speed for sure on the breakout, and then we needed to simplify it in the offense. Against hard pressure, the puck has to do the work for you, and you have to try to, you know, when a team is pressuring you so hard with so many bodies, You have to find the areas, and our focus was on finding those areas and simplifying the power play, which worked. Our guys did a really good job, and that power play is such a feel. You know what I mean? It's such a, you put a lot of work into it. You do things work really well in practice, and then you get guys in a game that that pressure comes at them, and then it everything breaks down. Now we can't make a breakout pass, and you want to slow everything down. But we just simplified it and tried to get more speed involved in it with puck movement and everything. We wanted everything to just be quicker, so that they didn't need much time to think to force. And we seemed to want to make time to think to force, and we wanted to take that thinking time out of it and just turn it into reaction.
Coach, have you ever thought about putting together a all-Finn line out there with Hallinen, Raisinen, Pietila out there, and, of course, Keelanen is on the team as well?
Well, I've thought about it, not to the degree that, of this question. I'd like to get an all-Finn line from Finland. I'd like to get the three top Finns from Finland that are going to be first-round NHL draft picks, center, left wing, right wing, all playing on us. We'll start them every single game. We'll let them get their five points each a night, and we'll go on from there. That we've been working very hard with contacts and everything. I even contacted Darcy Way this week for a phone number for a, you know, former Tech player. It's just a no-brainer to me. But agents get involved and they want to talk about hype and they want to talk about, you know, different leagues and things like that. But it'd be such a great experience for Finns to come here and play. And when I was coaching juniors, I was able to get Finns to come play because we were voted, you know, we were one of the top junior teams every year in the country. So there were people that would send Finns to us because we had a good Finnish population over in the Sioux as well, because those guys were going to go and they're going to go to top colleges and they're going to end up, you know, having a chance to make them money. The agents here want them to go to the prestige schools, and all these guys are represented by agents from, you know, they all have agents even over there that are, you know, there's guys that want to come over, but as soon as you get on them, like there's a kid playing in Wisconsin right now. We were the first kid on them. And then all of a sudden, you know, the private jet comes out and they're flying back and forth where this kid ended up going, private jet, and then they're over there every day talking to him and, you know, and yeah, you want to go there to their NHL coaches and their, and that's the top program and that university and that. And it's, you know, that, yeah, I want Finns, Swedes, I want them, yes, absolutely. The best, we need the best players and sometimes you have to get them from there and we just need to get a pipeline going. And that's been the biggest struggle. The biggest struggle in recruiting we've had so far is that we've made trips over there. The biggest problem we've had is landing a player. Now, not just anybody, but a player that can play.
Next question is really more of a statement, Coach. On Friday, it felt like we were trying to make the perfect play. On Saturday, we shot the puck and crashed the net, and it worked. And that seems to be what the MO was on Saturday night, a lot of it.
Yeah,
anyway.
Again, I think a lot of it is confidence and being assertive. Is that north-south game, like, we played Alaska a couple weeks ago, and we just looked slow. And we talked about it. You and I did. We talked about it on the air. We talked about it with the players. And, I called guys in one-on-one, talked. And how'd you feel on Friday? I just kind of, and that's part of preparation. That's part of the mental preparation. That's part of the power play Friday being slow against when they're forcing us versus being fast. You can look at the NFL. And you see a young quarterback that doesn't have it yet, right? He's still evolving. And teams are going to throw all different types of blitz packages at him. They're going to disguise it. They're going to come from all different areas. And they're going to disrupt that guy. Remember a couple weeks ago, I'm not going to disrespect the gentleman, but there was a player on a mic'd up game that said, I'm seeing ghosts out there. They're throwing blitz packages from everywhere at him. And this young quarterback was actually made a comment that it shouldn't have gone public. I'm seeing ghosts out there. Like he didn't know what was coming from where. But a veteran quarterback understands it, studies it, knows the film, sees what's going on, reads the eyes, and will audible out of it. And then he wants that rush. Because he knows that there's an opening somewhere that happens. That was the difference between Friday and Saturday, especially on the power play. We went after it more, and we got the guys to get the confidence to go after it a little more and to say, okay, let's do this and let's turn this into this and let's build off of that. And on Friday night, same game plan, same everything, but we just wanted to, we had to see it. And it wasn't there. Everything closed up so fast, it wasn't there. So they're intercepting passes. Our guys are losing confidence. They can't catch a breakout pass. And then when you get the puck in zone, you might even win a faceoff, but they're still in that retreat mindset. It's evolution. It's, that's why schools recruit the players that perform best. And you don't just go in and say, I think that guy will be good. You lose a lot of games waiting for guys, hoping guys, thinking this guy has the ability. You need to know and see that he has the ability. That's why it's good for guys to wait a little longer in juniors and develop a little bit more so that when they come, they can perform right away And you see our best performers are really a lot of guys that come out of the USHL. They're most ready to play.
Very good, Coach. A couple more questions. We'll get to those on the other side, and we'll also talk about the big matchup in the Hall of Fame game against North Dakota, a team that we have not played since back in March of 2013. It's all part of the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images invites you to join Husky Deals. When you join us on Husky Deals, you'll receive exclusive information about our upcoming promotions, sales, and events. Send your preferred email address to campusstore@mtu.edu, and we'll add you promptly. Stop by today or visit us online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Husky Deals from the Campus Store and University Images. Don't miss out. Join today. Thank you for your patronage, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Since 1942, Pisani Company has been distributing your favorite adult beverages here in the Western Upper Peninsula. They're a local family business stationed in Atlantic Mine and part of the fabric that makes our Copper Country community great. Pisani brings you Coors and Coors Light, KBC, Bell's, the ever-popular White Claw, and now, Truly, the official seltzer of the NHL. Nearly 80 years of history and making history every day. Pisani Company, Atlantic Mine.
Back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93. A couple more questions for you here, Coach. Our first question is, do you have a mascot? Who is your favorite mascot all time in
my
your career?
My favorite all-time mascot, and I know where this is coming from, is my good buddy Chimakwa. When we were in juniors, we had a good friend of mine was our mascot. Carter Berry, he did a great job for us. He engaged the kids. Chimakwa, that's my favorite. You're the best, Carter. You're my favorite of all time.
Okay, so that's where that was going. We had that.
We had that a couple weeks ago,
didn't tell you who it was either. Yeah. I usually don't. All right, next question is, Coach, and this is kind of what we're going into with this segment anyway. How do the Huskies match up against North Dakota?
That's a good question. We'll get. I didn't go back on the bus. We went out recruiting and got in late last night, and so as soon as I get back to the office, we'll start banging that out and getting that video. But you know, it's about. You know, you hate to say it, but it's about us. We'll look and see what things we can do to play our game, but it's about our continued growth. We have a great schedule for developing as a team. We have a tough schedule. We had those early games that gave us a little bit of a chance to work on some things. Then we played a team that had gotten an early start. Alaska got an early start because of there's some different provisions in Alaska that they're mm-hmm. that they're granted because of their proximity and things. They can start a little earlier. They were more ready than we were to play. I think that was evident. And then they had played Denver the week before, number one in the country, and played them very well. So they came in with confidence against us. And now we go to Bowling Green, who's extremely, Ty's done a good job in both recruiting that team, and that's a good hockey team. They're fun to watch. They compete. They're all over the puck. They make you better. We still have North Dakota, then we have Mankato. You know, we've still got Northern, who's off to a very good start in the first half. We have an extremely good first half schedule for guys to grow, as long as we can allow them to keep growing, as long as their mood stays good, as long as they keep building self-accountability and build expectations of others because they're working so hard within the group structure, to get to the long range plan of where we are to rebuild this thing, to get it back to where we, you know, where everybody expects it to be. I know that those things get frustrated and people want it quick, and I can't do it that way. We have to build it one brick at a time, build the base and get it going through. And like I said, my error last year led to a delay in a lot of ways. I had never been through a situation like I went through last year. And we didn't get a lot out of the second half of last year in honesty, a lot of growth that we needed to have. our culture struggled because of it. And so what I wanted to do is make sure that the message was clear. I wasn't going to band-aid, you know, I was going to stay true to what we needed to do to have success, what I felt we needed to do to have success. And I think that we're getting some dividends out of that this year because the whole mood coming in has been different. We're not going to go on entitlement. We're going to build a hockey team and a program for sustained success so that when I leave here, I want the program to be better than it was, at least as good as it was when I took over. Cause that first year, there was a lot to do. You know, there was a lot to do and we got through it and, you know, masked it and people said, okay, that's transition's fine. But there was a lot of catch up that we had to do for things roster wise and over roster size and things like that, that, and we're just not going to shortcut it. So, we'll get to work on North Dakota and we'll give them the best game we possibly can there. And then we'll get ready and get at the number two team in the country, Mankato, and give them the best that we have. And we'll see if we can keep continuing to grow against these very good teams.
North Dakota, this game, against us for North Dakota, this will be their fifth WCHA game in a row. They played Mankato a couple of weeks ago already, tied and lost to the Mavericks.
One goal games.
And played Bemidji State.
In Mankato,
that's yep. right. And outshot them, if I'm
that's
big
right.
time, I
that's
think,
right.
in significantly in both games.
Right.
And then had two good games against Bemidji State. The Beavers lost both of those games, but 2-1 and 4-1. I think one of them might have been overtime. I'm not sure. But anyway, we know how good North Dakota is every
yeah.
year.
And in their rank.
Yeah. yeah.
And in their rank. And it's a special place for our guys who are going to enjoy it. There's no place like our rank. And there's no place like their rank as well. There's some, you know, temple type ranks in college hockey. They have one. We certainly have one. It's going to be fun to watch our team get at it. I'm looking forward to it because all these things, all of a sudden, it's, you know, we go in there and we play a good hockey game and it's, whoa, okay, here, you know, we have something here. There is something here because, you know, like we said, Alaska went in and shut out Penn State in Penn State, you know, shut them out. Mm-hmm. They're not a bad hockey team. I said that. I'm not going to go on here and make excuses or anything for anything, but everybody expects you just to walk through everybody all the time. We're a growing team. We're a restructuring team and they're a veteran team, Alaska, with good players, you know. They did a good job. All these games are going to show us because we know who they play. You know, Bowling Green swept Western Michigan the weekend before. Mm-hmm. You know, they went and beat Miami in Miami. Bowling Green's a good hockey team. We competed with them. You know, we're continuing to grow and gain confidence.
Coach, you only got a couple of minutes. One question I had for you.
Sure.
One game this weekend. How much does that affect the way you go at it or the guys go at a game like that, knowing it's just one game, you don't have to worry about that second night?
It doesn't affect. We're one game at a time. It's going to affect who we bring because we're only going there for one game and how we go about it. But we're going to give the guys today off. They earned it. We have the game's not till Saturday. Everything's delayed a week. It'll give us more of a chance to do a more thorough job on our video and on our prep work. And then we're gonna, you know, we'll get after it. But it's we're gonna put every game to us is the same. We're playing every game to win that game and give us the best chance to win that game. And then as the game goes on, if we have to do things to rest guys a little bit more for the next night because of the score one way or another, we'll do that. But we go into every game the same, and we don't look past anything. I mean, I actually got ahead of myself for a different reason, saying our schedule, mm-hmm. just for the fact how excited I am with the strength of our schedule mm-hmm. in this first half of the year. The difference of last year. Last year we had a very, you know, one of the weaker first half schedules and had false success in it, and it caught up with us in the second half. This year we're hoping to flip that.
30 seconds, Coach. Yep. How familiar are you with Brad Berry, who's going into, I think, his fifth year?
He's a good man. That whole staff, they're good men there. He's a good guy. I know him. I wouldn't say that he's a close friend, but we've talked several times, and he likes our program, and I like what he does there, and he's a guy that you can always sit down with, and even when I was an assistant coach, and have good conversations with. He's a good man and does a good job.
A lot different than Dave Haxtell, you think? Or
oh yeah, he's more of a players coach for sure than Dave Haxtell. He's a demanding type of a guy, but he's a, you know, he's like that big teddy bear too that puts his arm around you and can show you a lot of love too.
Coach, thanks for the show, and congratulations on the win on Saturday night. Big game coming up on this Saturday night. We'll be on the air at 7:30. It's an 8:07 start from Ralph Engelstad Arena, again, a place that the Huskies have not played since March of 2013. And the Huskies will take on the Fighting Hawks, who were the Fighting Sioux. And the over-under on how many times I say Fighting Sioux throughout the broadcast is, we don't know what that is yet. But Coach, thanks a lot. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Derek.